This morning, God's Word comes to us from Exodus chapter 15 and 16. We're going to begin reading near the end of chapter 15 at verse 22, and then read through the end of chapter 16. Exodus 15, beginning at verse 22, what we hear now is God's Word. Then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. Therefore it was named Marah. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a log, and he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made for them a statute and a rule, and there he tested them, saying, "If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, and do that which is right in his eyes, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord, your healer." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water. They set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling that you grumbled against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each of you, as much as he can eat. You shall each take an omer according to the number of the persons that each of you has in his tent." And the people of Israel did so. They gathered, some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. And the Lord said to them, "Let no one leave any of it over till the morning." But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, each as much as he could eat. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. On the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake, and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over lay aside to be kept till the morning." So they laid it aside till the morning, as Moses commanded them. And it did not stink, and there were no worms in it. Moses said, "Eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none." On the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain each of you in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. Now the house of Israel called its name manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. The Lord said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omer of it be kept throughout your generations, so that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness, when I brought you out of the land of Egypt." And Moses said to Aaron, "Take a jar and put an omer of manna in it, and place it before the Lord to be kept throughout your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the testimony to be kept." The people of Israel ate the manna 40 years till they came to a habitable land. They ate the manna till they came to the border of the land of Canaan. An omer is the tenth part of an ephah. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you also to turn to the back of your Psalter hymnals to page 62 in the back section. Page 62, this is Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 50. And this morning I will read the question. You may respond with the answer. Question 125, what does the fourth request mean? Well, in our ongoing study of the Lord's Prayer, we come now to a transition in the prayer. We have been looking at the first set of petitions, the first set of requests, petitions for God's name, petitions for God's kingdom, and petitions for God's will. Now we come to the second set of requests, requests that affect our needs directly. Requests for bread, requests for forgiveness, and for deliverance from temptation. We begin this morning with the fourth petition, the fourth request of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. A petition that while seemingly innocuous, seemingly simple, is really a deep prayer of faith. It takes faith to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." To trust God day by day by day to provide each and every one of our needs. It's a prayer that teaches us that God is reliable, that God is trustworthy, and that He is the one to whom we turn for all that we need for this life and the life to come. It was a prayer in faith that Israel never seemed to learn. Israel continued again and again and again not to put their trust in God. Oh, they had seen His greatness. They had seen His glory. They had seen His deliverance out of captivity in Egypt. But they still couldn't trust He would care for them each day, each day. We looked this morning at the story of Israel in the wilderness and the giving of the manna as a reminder to us that our God is faithful. He is powerful. He is able, just as He provided for them, to provide for all of our needs as well. The prayer is, give us our daily bread. I think the first thing we have to notice is that this is not a demand. It may sound that way. Give us our daily bread. Maybe, kids, sometimes your older brother comes to you and he sees you eating a candy bar on the couch, and he says, give me a piece of that candy. Well, he's not really making a request. He's making a demand. Give me some right now. A bank robber goes in the bank, and he says, give me all your money. It's a demand that he makes. Are we demanding God? Give us this day our daily bread. Do we come to God demanding things of Him? Do we come boldly in His presence, assuming a posture we do not have? Give it to us now. This is not a demand of God. To consider a demand is to ask wrongly. To ask without recognizing who God is and who we are. And yet so often, that's exactly how Israel came to God. Demanding things of Him. They had seen His power. They had seen His glory. And God brings them into the wilderness, and they come to this water, and the water is bitter, and God makes it sweet for them. He provides water in the desert. I know that on a weekend like we're having now, with the rain, for which we give God thanks, it's hard to appreciate the blessing of water in the desert. When it's 110 degrees out and you sweat just standing and there's no water around for miles and God provides water, cool, sweet water. It's a miracle. It's miraculous. God in the wilderness provides water for His people, and God gives it to them and then brings them to a place of abundant water, a place of 12 springs and 70 palm trees where they can relax. And before you know it, they're demanding again. They're grumbling against God. Oh, sure, He gave us water, but oh, that we had died back in Egypt, where we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. Oh, God provided water for us, but we want some food. God, give us some food now, too. They asked wrongly. They demanded things of God. In spite of all they had seen, in spite of all God had done, they would not put their trust in Him to provide their needs at the proper time. No, this is not a demand. It is a request of God. Humbly asking Him to provide what we need. Humbly asking Him to take care of us once again today. But it's a request based on a relationship. We do not come to God as those who have no connection with Him, as those who are strangers to Him. When you drive through big cities, again, back in Phoenix, you drive through the city, and it's very common to see homeless people on the corner. That's a very common sight. We don't see that so much in Sioux Center. But you see homeless people on the corner, and they're there with a can asking for money. And they might walk up to your car, and they ask you for money. Now, there's no relationship between us and them. They come begging. There's really no expectation on their part that we're going to give them anything. They keep coming and they keep trying, but there's no relationship. That's not how we come to God and make our request. We don't come to Him as homeless beggars.
but we come to him as children. Remember the beginning of the prayer, our Father who art in heaven. We come as children, and as we make this request, there is a certain expectation, a certain confidence that God will provide, that he will hear our prayer, that he will give us what we need. Sort of like kids when you come home after you've been in school, or you're outside playing, or you're at work, and you walk in the back door, and you say, Mom, what's for supper? Can you imagine Mom saying, I'm not feeding you tonight. You've got no right to eat here. Mothers might feel like saying that sometimes, but they don't say that. No, there's a relationship. There's an expectation when the kids or the husband comes down and says, what's for supper tonight? That there's an expectation. Mom has made provisions. And she will set out a supper for us. Grilled cheese or hot dogs or whatever it might be. There's an expectation. A confidence that we have that our needs will be met. That's how we come to God in the Lord's Prayer. Give us. We're requesting of you, our Father. We're not demanding, but because you are our Father, give us this day our daily bread. A confidence in prayer, an assurance in prayer, that God, the God who knows our needs, will provide our needs. It's a prayer of faith, trusting God to do what he has promised to do. Give us this day our daily bread. It is not a prayer for tomorrow. It is a prayer for today. And yet so often I think we want to make it a prayer for tomorrow. Oh, sure, God's given us what we need today, but what about tomorrow? Will he do it again? That was Israel's problem. They weren't sure God would do it again. They came and they grumbled before God, and God says in verse 4 to Moses, Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion, they shall gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether or not they will walk in my law. Will they trust me? I'm not going to give them bread for a week. I'm going to give them bread for a day, that they may learn to trust, that they may learn to follow and to walk in my ways. But Israel was slow to learn the lesson. God had said, go out and gather a day's portion. What happens? Verse 19. And Moses said to them, let no one leave any of it over till morning. But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and the Lord was angry with them. They refused to see that God would provide today. They wanted to try to hoard something for tomorrow. Yes, God had given them bread for this day, but they weren't quite sure that he could do it again. They would not trust him. So they would, of their own accord, save some of this themselves and carry it over to the morning. Doing that is kind of like what I call a hamster prayer. I don't know if you've ever had a hamster, kid. When I was growing up, I had a hamster, a little rat-type hamster. If you've ever seen a hamster eat, when a hamster eats, he doesn't just eat his food. A hamster eats some of his food, and he saves most of it in his cheeks. And his cheeks fill up like a pouch, and he takes that back to his nest, and he saves that food for later. Give us this day our daily bread. It's not a hamster prayer. It's not, God, give me something, and I'm going to hoard it and store it up because I don't trust you for more. It is a prayer, give us today what we need. Now, there's no sin in planning for the future.
There is no sin in recognizing that we need to be aware of what's going on around us, in the economy, in our families. There's no sin in planning for the future. But our faith is not in the plan. Our faith is in the God who provides our needs. And so often we get that backwards. We begin to look at our bank accounts, we begin to look at our 401k, we begin to think about retirement, and we put our faith in the plan we have made and forget the God who provides. This is not a prayer for tomorrow's bread. It is a prayer for today. And as such, I say, it is a prayer of faith. To trust God day by day by day to provide what we need. It's a prayer for their daily bread. That every day, 7 days a week, God would provide. Although he does point out in the story of Israel and the manna that his provision is different on the Sabbath day. He will still provide for them, but in a slightly different way. Verse 5. The text says, on the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily. God had said, every day go out and get just what you need and don't keep any over, only the bread for the day. But getting ready for the Sabbath, getting ready for that day of rest, I'll provide more than you need, twice as much, and it won't go bad. So you won't have to go out and work. So you can rest on the day I've given you to rest. How slow Israel was to learn to trust. Verse 22. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over, lay aside to be kept till the morning. So they laid it aside till the morning as Moses commanded them. And it did not stink, and there were no worms. And Moses said, eat it today. For today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none. On the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. They had to learn the lesson. God would provide every day in the way he had determined. He had told them, go out and get just what you need for the day, but on the sixth day, I'll provide for the seventh day as well if you do it my way. But they would not listen. They went out and their gathering was completely unprofitable. Nothing there for them. They went out. They went to work. But there was nothing to be gained. God still provides for us in his way. God still provides for us day by day by day. He'll provide for us bread Monday through Saturday and Sunday as well, but in a different way. During the week, we go out and we labor. We work. And God blesses that and we have the food for the day. But he says, I've given you a day of rest. You don't have to go out and work 7 days a week. In fact, you should not. Because your labor on that extra day will be unprofitable. It will not yield anything for you. So often we think that we need to work 7 days a week. We need one more shift to make sure that we can stay balanced. But God says, it won't bless you. It won't be profitable. Don't feel you have to work on that Christian Sabbath day. I'll provide enough in 6 days. And God is even very specific later on in Exodus, Exodus chapter 34. Again, very appropriate for a farming community. God says, even at planting time and even at harvest time, rest on the seventh day. I'll provide daily food every day. Daily food for 6 days, and in a special way on the seventh day. This is a test to see whether you will keep my commands. How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws, the Lord says. The Lord has given you a Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain in your place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day. And the people rested. They had to learn to trust. Give us every day the bread that we need, trusting God would provide. We read in the confession, do take care of our physical needs, that we come to know that you are the only source of everything good, and that neither work and worry nor your gifts can do any good without your blessing. God blesses the labor of our hands for 6 days, and we trust that labor will carry over to provide for us on the seventh. It's a prayer that is a request, not a demand. It is for today, not for tomorrow. And I say in the outline, it is not a prayer for steak, but for bread. And I think you probably know what I mean by that. God doesn't promise to give us everything we want. God doesn't promise all the extras. He doesn't promise steak on the table. He promises to provide for the basic needs of life. For bread. For that which is common to all and the most basic physical need that we have, the simple food of bread. He gave them bread. He gave them water. Oh, we so often want more. And when God doesn't give it to us, we wonder, why isn't he blessing us? We want all the extras. We want all the toys. We want all the gadgets. But God never promised that. Give us this day our daily bread. The most basic need of life. Verse 16 says, this is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each one of you, as much as he can eat. You shall eat, each take one omer according to the number of the persons that are in your tent. People did so. They gathered, some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over. Whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. God provided exactly what they needed. And that should be sufficient. He didn't give them that overabundance or make them worry about what's coming next. But he gave them exactly what they needed. It is a prayer not for steak, but for bread, the basic needs of life. It's a prayer we pray in faith, trusting God to provide our basic needs. What is the most fundamental need that we have? I would suggest it is not in the physical things God provides for us. But our most fundamental need is the need to know Him. Our most fundamental need is not bread, manna. Our most fundamental need is Jesus Christ, the bread from heaven. To know Him as Lord, to know Him as Savior. And God provides that wonderfully. The knowledge of Jesus Christ given to us again and again and again, day after day, Lord's Day after Lord's Day. And for all who will hear, for all who will embrace, for all who will follow the law of God and receive this Savior by faith, our most basic fundamental need is met. God provides life and life eternal. If you are here worrying about food, worrying about the things of life, but know not God, don't worry about all the rest. It's secondary to your most fundamental need.
the need to recognize Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior.
And once that most basic, fundamental need has been filled perfectly and completely,
then we may trust. Then we may go forward, trusting God to provide our daily bread every day. And yet so often it is the physical that we have a hard time trusting. God has sent His Son to redeem us from sin and death and hell, and we believe that and we embrace it, but we say, can He really provide for my physical needs?
Oh, people of God, He has provided the most deep need we have. He's given us eternal life.
God can certainly provide from the stuff around us the physical needs that need to be met. We may not be like Israel that says, oh, we've seen the water. But can He really give us bread too? We have seen eternal life in the Son of God. How easy it should be to trust that He will provide the simple things of this life day after day. Give us this day our daily bread. A prayer of faith. A prayer which trusts that God will receive the request as a father listens to a child. That He will every day give us what we need, either in regular, ordinary ways or in wonderful ways on the Sabbath. And that our needs will be met by His mighty provision. May God give us trust. Trust in Him, trust in His Word, trust in His law, to pray this prayer confidently. Let us join together in prayer. Lord our God, You are the great King of the universe. You are the one who holds all the shares of all creation in Your mighty, powerful hand. And You, of Your love, of Your grace, of Your abundance, have poured down Your blessings on us. Spiritual blessings in the Lord Jesus Christ. You Yourself have redeemed us, have made us Your children. And as children now, O God, we turn to You and ask for the things of life. Provide for us, we pray, daily, our daily bread. May we not be caught up in the future. May we not be overwhelmed with what the future might hold. Make us diligent, but keep our trust and our faith in You. Help us to give up our trust in creatures, that we put our trust in You alone. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.